Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 my brothers and sisters, we are back. Thank y'all. We are back again, yes indeed, for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel. Hidden Gospel Revealed, and I'm your host tonight, Edemia. I'm Covenant Remembrance Ministries, so very thankful to the Most High, yes indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again, welcoming you to the show. So I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has told me, yes indeed, he has told me directly that I have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said that indeed I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I am, and so should you, be very thankful. The Most High has told me, my brothers and sisters, yes indeed, for your sakes, even for his holy name's sake, he has told me that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall. Well, my brothers and sisters, those of us who are wise know a very important truth that is related throughout the entirety of the scriptures. Yes, my brothers and sisters, a very, very precious truth that is related throughout the entirety of the scriptures that only the most humble soul will receive. I've told you, I've said to you many times on this show how the Most High told me directly that the words that I speak to you here are very, very precious. They're rare. Most High sends prophets to speak what others would not. Words are very precious, but indeed, my brothers and sisters, they are only for the most humblest of souls. All prophecy, my brothers and sisters, relates again and again a very precious truth. I said a very precious truth. That before we can see the blessedness that is called the great day of the Most High, the times that he has put under his authority, he brings all things under his dominion. The time of the restitution, restoration of all things according to his glory. Before, my brothers and sisters, that a world, before the world shall see this beauty and this glory, of what is called, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It is utmost necessary, my brothers and sisters, that there be a great remembrance, an awesome remembrance, restoration, a magnification of the law of the Most High unto a state that is considered honorable before him. A remembrance, brothers and sisters, of so much which a world for ages has forgotten. Scriptures tell us we must remember the law which he gave his servant Moshe before the great dreadful day. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that's far more than what's written on a printed page. I repeat, that's far more than what is written on a printed page. Men have printed and written all kinds of things concerning what they think those words mean. But only that which the Most High declared after his word, and that word for word also means thoughts, conceits, also promise. After what the Most High has agreed with is life eternal. So many say they keep the law of Moshe. Many call themselves, per se, if you will, Hebrews. But my brothers and sisters, there are many who say they are Jews and are not, because they have not sought the righteousness of Yah, but rather the praise of men, forgetting that if a whole world be a liar, deceived, having misconstrued the Holy Word, Yah will yet be true. The scriptures say in Malachi, in fact, if we read from around 2:16, Malachi to 3:4, my brothers and sisters, all I can tell you is that it requires one who is born again to understand the Most High will judge mankind, not according to what seems wiser to men, but according to his righteousness. It takes one who is born again, my brothers and sisters, discerning the wisdom and the righteousness and the reason of Yah, to discern the kind of humility that is required to remain truly a disciple of the Most High. knowing that the Most High will strip from their places of authority the pretenses of the many, my brothers and sisters, who claim to represent him but represent him not. For many are they, my brothers and sisters, who have blasphemed and disrespected the holy name, commending men after a multitude of corrupt ways, saying that everyone who walks in his evil way, as long as you just call upon the name of the Most High delights in such. The scriptures tell us that, the scripture says, he for whom you seek, the Lord whom you should be seeking, who many claim to seek, but will come to many by great unsuspecting surprise, will suddenly come to his temple, and indeed, my brothers and sisters, he will declare that men shall be judged according to the righteousness of Yah. He will come to purify, the scripture says, how about to purge out from the temple all the sons of Levi who have been partial in the law, who have been treacherous against the fullness of a covenant, who have had the law but not seeking by faith and sought to establish their own unrighteousness over men, keep men in bondage, and therefore have never preached truly what is the gospel of the kingdom. So many of my brothers and sisters, in defense of their pulpits and thrones, in defense of the faulty foundations of a system that would never tell the whole truth, therefore compelling men to seek to exalt their own unrighteousness or their iniquity or even their shallow-mindedness. Well, my brothers and sisters, like I said before, many not knowing what the solution is, and the system won't tell you. I'm going to tell you that now. The system won't tell you what the solution is, what the scripture says the solution is. It's already said in advance, the leaders would not tell you this. They consider the truth, the knowledge of that solution, in fact, an occupational hazard. A hazard to their avocation, if you will. Well, scripture says all these things that the world has been compelled to forget must be remembered. Lots of scripture I could talk to you about that. Acts 3:18 to 23. Very powerful scripture. It says the heavens said at that time that the heavens must receive the Messiah. Until the times of the restitution, the restoration of all things, yes, which he himself must perform. It didn't say the leaders would. Think about it. If the leaders could restore all things to the exceeding conscience by which all men shall be judged, they would have done it a long time ago. It takes Yah, my brothers and sisters, to raise and send a Savior. It takes Yah, my brothers and sisters, to raise up one whose conscience is above all, that all by him may be judged, that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. It takes the power of Yah, my brothers and sisters, to raise men to the remembrance of a conscience that this age cannot restore. It takes the conscience of Yah, the mind of Yah, the power of Yah, to restore to present conscience the word that is from the beginning, that we might comprehend with all the saints throughout the course of ages, which is the height, depth, and breadth of the wisdom, my brothers and sisters, is necessary that through the course of all time, regardless of territory, we who would confess allegiance to the holy name must be one. Acts 3:18 says, Messiah will come for the restitution, restoration, remembrance of all things, according to all the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet since world began. What does this mean? The scriptures right after it say this, and it shall come to pass that whoever, he raises a prophet among your brethren. And it says, whoever will not hearken to the voice of that prophet shall be utterly cut off from among the people. Meaning, when he brings that remembrance, my brothers and sisters, when he brings to bear the remembrance of what for so many ages the world has forgotten, when he brings to remembrance what the scriptures say the Holy Spirit does, lead you unto all truth. When he seeks to lead men by the way that they have not known, I'm talking about Isaiah 42, 16. Lead men by the way of truth, the exceeding word that all must give attention, the way of peace that the world has not known. You need to read, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 59. Read Isaiah 59 through 59, 8 through 16, all the way out through about 16, 12. Because the scriptures tell us that when the Most High restores and brings to remembrance that light of truth, that men should hold it to heart, and it should not depart from their mouths, nor the mouth of their descendants henceforth even forever. Whoever will not remember that promise, whoever will not remember that ancient word, whoever will not remember that eternal covenant, Scripture says that nation that will not serve according to that word shall perish. The Most High has promised, I said He has promised, peace. If there be none in the midst of to dissuade, for Israel shall become a people that speaks no lies, no false doctrine, none of the contaminations and pollutions of the nations, none of the short-sighted and hasty conclusions declared by the nations, who would flatter the people in vain rather than comfort them in the knowledge of the truth. My brothers and sisters, it says plainly according to the scriptures. I said plainly according to the scriptures. It says the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, comes to teach all things, bringing all things to remembrance, that purity and completion might be in the hearts and minds of men and remembered forever. Well, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, let's look at it this way. Messiah comes in the gift of the Holy Spirit. He comes in the gift, if you will, the consecrated Spirit. The mind, brothers and sisters, eternal, the Most High. That nothing may be forgotten, all things remembered, that we might have a mutual sense of cooperation. Did you hear me? A mutual sense of cooperation. Scripture says, comprehending with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth. One conscience, my brothers and sisters. One faith, one baptism, one cosmic conscience. One faith, one pure reasoning and word beyond all the pollutions of man. One purity, one baptism, one conversion, my brothers and sisters, even to the full measure and stature of Messiah himself, that we not be alienated after the mindset of the nations, of the Gentiles. Oh, my brothers and sisters, all this is written in the book of Ephesians. How many understand the ramifications of the word that we all might be reconciled after one peace? I think about scriptures, my brothers and sisters, like those that speak that we must be brought to remembrance. I could talk to you about, in fact, I will in just a moment, Isaiah 40 and 18, Isaiah 46 and 5, all throughout 46, 8 through 13. We must remember, my brothers and sisters, after the gift of the Spirit, being born again, to see what from the beginning to eternity is the reasoning of Yah, that we might be one with Him. We must come to this remembrance. But my brothers and sisters, I would ask the question, after what similitude will you liken Yah? After what standard would you call the righteousness of Him? I was going through this a bit on last evening. Didn't get a chance to say as much about it that deserves being said. But let it be considered, my brothers and sisters, there are many who misinterpret the words that are related at, for instance, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 44 through 45 through 46. Scripture is related again and again that it is the Most High who will send according to His word. A Savior. There are even those, my brothers and sisters, who not understanding this word have said that there will be no Messiah. There will be no Savior. That's exactly, entirely, completely juxtaposed idiocy against even discerning the Holy Name, let alone the promise of Yah. I ask the question, my brothers and sisters, the Scripture says Most High will send one He calls Shiloh unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. And it means that Most High must prove foolish the wisdom that is seen wise in this world, that men should follow him. Unto him the gathering of the people should be, who the one who will slay and expose all lawlessness, immorality, injustice. That the nation shall seek him, that his peace, his rest, shall be glorious, invariant after the majesty and sovereignty of Yah. Well, our brothers and sisters, how many of us are humble enough to understand the meaning of that scripture at Acts 3:18-23? Again, what it says, my brothers and sisters, is when Messiah comes to reveal that full remembrance, as the anointed one of the Spirit of remembrance comes to reveal all things. It says, whoever will not hearken to that prophet, whoever not hearken, the word for hearken is same for obey and believe. That prophet, scripture said, be utterly cut off from among the people. There will be no more. The day will come, my brothers and sisters, there will be the survival of no one who would be a dissenter. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, the hearts of men must prepare. And that's exactly what the scriptures say in Acts 3:18-23. It talks about preparing for the times of refreshing, that your sins may be blotted out. How about your allegiance to all false standards may be blotted out in the day and the times of refreshing? The Messiah comes to reveal those things which men have not considered. That every man discerning the shame of their kings and rulers might believe to obey his report. Isaiah 52:15-53:1 needs to be understood, my brothers and sisters. As I repeat again, it is not after the power of man that the Savior is raised up, but only at the power of Yah. The salvation is not of works or anything designed of men, after the conscience of men, lest any man after his own shallow mindedness might boast. We must be after the workmanship of Yah, according to what Yah declared from the beginning, that we shall know again this peace. Well, I'd like to call attention Isaiah 40th chapter. And I've said it before, it's a very important statement. Isaiah 40 and 18 asks a question, since it says all the nations before him, or in other words, the imagination of all the nations before him counted as nothing in his judgment. I said, utter vanity. They counted him as less than nothing in vanity. Whew! That means something certainly to be destroyed, that men might see the light. He says, to whom will ye liken Yah? Or unto what likeness will ye compare him? Is he after what the workman melted the graven image to create? Is he after what men call churches just because they call him by the name of the Most High? Shall men make a building, call it a church, and it be a building after the conscience of men to draw men out from the world? My brothers and sisters, we've talked before about these scriptures. There's another one like it in Isaiah 46. How about Isaiah 46 and 5? There's something to be understood about this. Very powerful word. It says, to whom will you liken Yah? 46 and 5, Most High asks, to whom will you like Yah and make me be called equal or in similitude, or count me in similitude, and compare me that we as a people, I hope you understand that, may be alike. It's not after what men create, my brothers and sisters. This salvation is after the working and the gift of the grace of the Most High Yah. I will dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, something that really needs to be examined. You realize, my brothers and sisters, and we've talked about this before on this show, but it's a very powerful sentiment. We spoke about it a bit last evening. Some of every single prophecy in the quote-unquote renewing of the covenant
Some people call it the new covenant. Not a new covenant, it's a remembrance of what was declared of old.
So every single prophecy declares what is the purpose with the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. So every single prophecy that is there, or every time the scriptures talk about what is written concerning him, is actually a prophecy, my brother and sister, that can be directly traced, I repeat, can be directly traced to the prophecies concerning the one that the scriptures call the Kurdee. I said if the scriptures were interpreted correctly. They put down in your King James Version, Cyrus. My brothers and sisters, do you think a man's kingdom would be called Kurdistan after a title Cyrus? There's an ancient term called the Kurdee, the righteous one, the one who brings and restores the light that a world would obscure, that a world has despised, that a world has sought to hear, to hide, who restored then the gospel light, the gospel word of the exceeding kingdom, the conscience of the kingdom on high. And a man, my brothers and sisters, in order to receive, must first be empty of the corruptions that are in his heart. Humbly empty of the corruptions in his heart that he might receive or have room in his heart for such words. The scriptures, my brothers and sisters, again and again relate that, in fact, I'll say it again, all the prophecies in the scriptures relate the coming of Messiah, what he comes to do. Again and again, my brothers and sisters, are the direct scriptures related to the one that is called the King of the East, the righteous one from the East, the Son of Righteousness that arises. One, my brothers and sisters, is called the King of the Medes, Shiloh, and so much of prophecy. But my brothers and sisters, how many of us consider what the scriptures mean when it says the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance and lead us unto all truth? What is that all truth? What about the idea that the Holy Spirit must speak what others would not? A prophet of the Most High must speak what others would not. I don't call this show hidden gospel revealed without a reason. I call it this, my brothers and sisters, because there must be a place. The Most High has commanded there must be a place where the truths that a world would not speak can yet be heard. You should count that a great blessing, my brothers and sisters. I would have you to know that the scriptures I just spoke of in Isaiah 40:18 go on to talk about one who is called, the scripture says, who has stirred up this righteous one like the rising sun. He says the princes should be trodden down before him as a, trodden down. In one scripture, in Isaiah 41:25, scriptures in Isaiah 41, really need to read 40:27-41:4. Says the kings shall be as dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow, that the Most High himself will subdue nations and kings before him. Scripture tells about that one destroying Babylon once and for all. Scripture says that one will bring to remembrance what a spiritually weakened humanity has long forgotten. Hey, the book of Acts says Messiah, even Yeshua, will return to do this. But Messiah himself said that he is the one called the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The morning star, my brothers and sisters, well, let's just put it to you this way. Now, those who claim to be the light that cast out all the darkness, but this is just the mockery of the actuality. Many being duped by misrepresentative duplication. But the Most High, my brothers and sisters, the one who is truly called the morning star, likened to the morning star, the sudden rising of the sun that cast out the darkness, reveal the light that the world would obscure, even the light that the world has sought to hide. That one, my brothers and sisters, is the one who exposes all unrighteousness, reveals what a whole world has been misled to deny. Scripture says the Holy Spirit would lead men unto all truth. I ask the question. I ask the question. Why have most not been taught about the secret city prophecies? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, a great blessing from the Most High that he would open the minds to see what the rulers would not tell, that men might pierce the veils and attain to the victory. For as long as men are subject to those who would hide these truths, my brothers and sisters, the souls of men are still yet in Babylon. For the Most High said, the Spirit of Yah is upon me, sending Messiah to say, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings. How about a fullness of a word to the meek, a word exceeding, my brothers and sisters, therefore to release the captives and the prisoners that are bound? Who will understand the meaning of these things? Those scriptures at Isaiah 46 and 5 says, to whom will you liken Yah that we may be compared? Who will you liken him as a similitude? That the people agreed with Yah might be alike. All my brothers and sisters, remind me so much of the scriptures also in Amos 3, relating that how can two walk together lest they be agreed? And the Most High talks about what type of scenario is going to be brought to bear, that his people can be one. And it says that one whom to whom men would call a similitude likened unto Yah, the Son of Yah, will be at that place. He said, so the trumpet be blown in the city, that people be not afraid in Amos 3. Like I said, why have they not taught you about the secret city prophecies? Why have they not taught you about the one who will expose this Babylon? All the confusion of the multitude of pastors and kings across this world, once and for all, the confusion be no more. Scripture said in advance they wouldn't tell you. Well, that scripture in Isaiah 46, let me go ahead and look at it for a moment. I was going to go through this the other night, and I want to have you, my brothers and sisters, please consider. He says, to whom will you liken, how about Isaiah 46 and 5, whom will you liken Yah and make me equal? Well, even that word equal means in similitude, likeliness, resemblance, common reckoning, my brothers and sisters, if you will. Commensurate, if you will. In agreement. What's the scripture say of Messiah in Philippians? He did not consider, they translated equality. It says, whom will you liken Yah, whom they put down here the word equal? He did not, the scripture says of Messiah, he did not consider, if you will, equality or similitude after Yah. It would be a thing just to be grasped. He didn't presume it. He humbled himself. One scripture says he humbled himself. And he learned obedience through the reverence and suffering that he endured. And he became author of life everlasting to those who obeyed him. But many have not considered the full meaning of that scripture, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 49 said Messiah will come himself, saying at one time that he walked according to the vanities of this world, but now Yah has become his strength. So Isaiah 49. The scripture is also in Isaiah 45, my brothers and sisters, between the 15th and the 25th verse. Saying, surely shall one say in the Most High have our righteousness and strength. One who once did not know the Most High, but the scripture says, if you really want to look at it, the way it reads in the Masoretic text, it says he has called Israel for the sake, if you will, of the awakening of his servant Israel, that all may know from the rising of the sun to the west, if you will, to the end of the earth, there is no other Savior but Yah. Meaning that the Most High is the one who awakened him. What's the scripture say in Isaiah 50? Morning by morning has he caused my ears to hear the teaching. And I've not turned back the rebellious way, that I should know how to declare a word to the weary. Who will understand, my brothers and sisters, the implications of these words? I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters, after these scriptures speak about this, which is written really from Isaiah 44:20, all the way to about 46:13, I want you to consider these words. Talk about the one who will bring these things to remembrance, that the counsel of the so-called wise might be recognized as foolish, that the people of Yah might be converted. On last evening, we went through, 29 through 30 and 8, Deuteronomy, and the power of those words is great. Saying that the Most High in the latter day will surely bring all things to remembrance, bring all things to mind to his people, that they might be converted from the ways of the nations. And that he might bless his people, my brothers and sisters, beyond what has been their imaginations among the Gentiles. Because I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that this system, not having shown people what is the solution for the anomalies that are in it, have compelled many to just simply call themselves wise after mass contradiction. To insult the Most High, even call the Most High a liar if they count themselves true. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. The prime agenda of this system from the day people get here is to count the systems under which they are born, to in some way be counted wise for the mass of their contradictions, to blaspheme the name of the Most High, to become so stout and hard-hearted that the Most High, my brothers and sisters, I say the Most High, because they rebuke his discipline so much. One scripture said the Most High turned his face from the house of Yaakov. One scripture says, you must hearken to Yah lest you fall from his grace. Some so unwilling to let go of the lie, and the Most High knows that as long as they hold on to the lie, there will never be consecration in truth. Humility, my brothers and sisters, and reverence before an exceeding wisdom, an exceeding authority comes from Yah, is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing that you must exceed all the miscreant concept of your rulers, else you shall not be counted true to him who will call his people from the midst of all nations that they prepare for his kingdom. I will bring you to mind, my brothers and sisters, the thing that as a people we must remember before we can truly be unto Yah a people. Isaiah 46:8, he said, remember this, and show yourselves men, bringing again to mind, O ye transgressors, all ye whose allegiances have been unto standards with which the Most High cannot be pleased. Remember, there is again, the former things of old. Hey, Isaiah 44, if you look in the Aramaic, it says, from henceforth forget me not. Isaiah 59 says he's going to restore a covenant that should remain in the mouths of your descendants and your descendants henceforth even forever. A covenant, my brothers and sisters, that is to be remembered and never again forgotten. No more falling away. Remember the former things of old. For he says, he is Yah, and there is none else. He is the Most High, and there is none like him. Well, I want you to listen to what he says he can do that no one else can. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all I please, calling one who is like a ravenous bird. Oh, you need to understand how an eagle or a ravenous bird considers all that is under his shadow, under his dominion. Calling one like a ravenous bird from the east, from the rising of the sun. How about the place from which the sun suddenly arises, the light suddenly arises to cast out the darkness? A man that will execute my counsel, he says, from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I, he said, will also do it. No one else can bring forth this one, my brothers and sisters, that is actually the one the Most High sends as Savior. So he says, hearken to me, ye stout-hearted. Oh, there's that word, stout-hearted again. Read Malachi, my brothers and sisters, talking about men whose hearts have been stout against Yah, as if to say that those who walk after unrighteousness can tempt Yah and yet be delivered, not knowing that the Most High will decide and bring forth that all may discern the difference between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not, that the wicked and all those who do iniquity lawlessly shall be ashes under the sole of the feet of the righteous when he does it. And he says he was going to bring forth what? Who? He said the Son of Righteousness will arise. The one who is called the Son of Righteousness, the righteous one, my brothers and sisters. As mentioned in the original text, if you will, in Isaiah 24:10-16, Isaiah 40:27-41:4, the upright one that is mentioned in Isaiah 26:7-13, the one that is called the righteous one again at Zephaniah 3:1-5. Messiah said he's the written offspring of David and the bright morning star. Did they tell you that the word for written offspring, if you will, is the same word for sunrise in the Hebrew? Or the one that suddenly springs forth like the rising sun as the result of a root suddenly springs forth from the earth? One that suddenly brings forth then life, that all may see it, my brothers and sisters. Did they tell you about this, my brothers and sisters, what it means? Since this one that they speak of here in prophecy in Zechariah and Malachi, Zechariah and Malachi prophesying of his return at a time long after his reign and rule, prophesied of what he must do in the latter days. Messiah said he is the written offspring of David, the bright morning star, that one likened to the sunrise that cast out all the darkness, that cast out the confusion, that destroyed this Babylon confusion once and for all. If he restores all these things that Babylon might end, my brothers and sisters, who else is that but the Savior? The scripture calls him his anointed. The scripture calls him the one that will establish Jerusalem upon a pure foundation. The shepherd, one of the Most High calls his shepherd for the regathering of his people, who reveals the hidden things. We've talked so many times on this show about how 1 Corinthians 4:5 is nothing else but Isaiah 44:20-45:6, talking about the one for whom the Most High shall make the crooked places straight, revealing the hidden things, prove foolish the wisdom that men have called wise among the nations, that they might be converted, that they know to follow the true shepherd, that might be established indeed a city of peace, that all may know from the rising of the sun to the west, from the ends of the earth, that there is none else but Yah who is Savior, who declares indeed what is righteousness. What does Scripture say, 46:11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country? Yeah, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I also will do it. So they say, hearken to me, ye stout-hearted. Oh, those who think that they may be delivered after the precepts of men, after the conceits of their own hearts, the words being stout against them, saying you shall yet be delivered after the supposed sovereignty of another. Say, ye that are far from righteousness, in other words, trapped, snared, after the suppositions of the nations. See, I'll bring them my righteousness and not be far off. And my salvation, even the Savior, will not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion and for Israel my glory. My brothers and sisters, who are they talking about all along in all these scriptures? Who are the ones that the scripture said you must remember? The prophecy the Most High said that you must remember. The one who is the subject of that prophecy that you must remember. The Holy Spirit brings all things to remembrance that through the course of ages his people might be one, comprehended again. As all those who call unto his righteousness. What indeed is the peace of the one Most High, the agreement of the one Most High? Holy Spirit brings all things
to remembrance, spirit of consecration, spirit of wisdom, spirit of power and might, brings all things to remembrance, my brothers and sisters, that we might agree, collected together as one with Yah. Most High told him the greatest gift he can give is a law by which men might again cooperate. My brothers and sisters, if men knew that law collectively, with the contentions that are in this world continue to exist, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Most High, the consecrated Spirit of the Most High, the Spirit that consecrates and sanctifies man unto the one Most High. Well, that very Spirit, my brothers and sisters, compels men to perceive after conscience beyond all the desecrations and pollutions and contrivances, contentions and contradictions of man. Who will discern, my brothers and sisters, after the same conscience, the one whom the Most High sends, that you might indeed have the victory, seeing beyond all the veils and the coverings of misconceit that have blinded all the nations, that you might say in that day, behold, this is the one for whom we have waited. We shall rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Scripture says the Holy Spirit brings all things to remembrance, leads men unto all truth. Have men even begun to consider what that greater truth is? Well, the scriptures tell us in advance about certain truths that the leaders would not speak. If men have not preached, like the scripture says in the book of Romans, all call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered, but how can they call upon him whom they have not heard? It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by word of Yah. Blind are those who think that faith, my brothers and sisters, exceeding wisdom and discretion, comes by trust in men. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 52, will understand that it's the rulers that have caused the people of the world to be under such vast contentions? Who is it, my brothers and sisters, who will believe him who has given dominion over all nations to declare a sure, whole, and complete word, that Yah in the earth might reign? One whose vision is not like unto the sons of men, but my brothers and sisters, whose word is a revelation unto great revolution. My brothers and sisters, even to turning aside all the contrivances of misconceit that have divided and left the world of damnations since the dawn of the fall. Who will be prepared to hear him? They put in your King James, he's marred more than any man. Oh boy, they really just don't want to tell you what that means. He has a vision greater than the sons of men, my brothers and sisters. His vision, well, let's see how I can put this to you. Pagans and polytheist nations considered those who had discretion beyond the multitude of their differences to be troublemakers. Oh, heaven help us. Who, my brothers and sisters, had the Most High stirred up to cause the people to see the hypocrisy of trust in so many contradictions? Remember what I told you? This system, from the time men get here, works to compel them to call the Most High a liar, to believe that a multitude of contradictions are a gift from the Most High, to believe the Most High has blessed a system of man to in so many ways as if it has license to sanction so many contradictions. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time we understand better to see beyond the solution. Why didn't they tell you about these things? Why didn't they prepare you according to what's written at Acts 3:18 through 23, saying that you must prepare for the times of restitution of all things? Think about it. Scripture says, to whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand the report? Most people never had the points, my brothers and sisters, begin to understand an exceeding report of one whose word is line upon line, precept upon precept. They never had the precepts
upon which they understand, or foundation upon which they may truly grow. Most I told me, I'll say it again. If you know what's said, don't know why it's said, you're missing the point. Well, think about it. Scripture says his word is line upon line, precept upon precept, to the measuring line, to the plummet, to the point. Many of my brothers and sisters have simply read what they saw in the scriptures, if they read it at all. Wanted to be able to quote it by rote, to cause it to, they say, mean what they would have it to mean. If everybody does this, my brothers and sisters, who trusts in the sovereignty of the One Most High? Do you dare to say that you could twist his words according to what seems wise according to your own heart and be called wise? Scripture says you should not take his name in vain. You should not call yourself in association with him, sworn in allegiance to him after your own vanities, lest you be far from counted blameless, and certainly then be counted guilty. For to call other men after your vanities, to believe that your thoughts are wise, and my brothers and sisters, you haven't heard consecration from the Most High himself, is be disqualified. Some disqualified, my brothers and sisters, haven't understood a basic principle. Blessed are they whom the Most High will find their humility worthy that they might be called disciples. Do I need to repeat this? Blessed are they whom the Most High will find their humility and their diligence for wisdom, great enough that he will count them worthy to be called his disciples, that he will call them unto him, that he will keep them in his care of keeping, that they might have the ability to discern the greater truth. That the Most High told me, anything that's in my head or ever will be in my head, worth anything, it has to come from him. That puts you in your place, my brothers and sisters, meaning that you must seek surely to appease his will. Because whoever's without his wisdom has no power to become the sons of Yah. Whoever was without discipline, that's from him, my brothers and sisters, regardless of what they might call themselves. They might call themselves Israel, the people of Yah. But they're bastards and not sons. Else, my brothers and sisters, the massive contentions that are amongst us would not exist. Let me repeat that. Many say they preach the gospel. Well, the gospel is the pure and complete word. There are no multitude of gospels. The gospel is not subdivided. There's no another gospel that will still yet bring peace. If the world, what the world had, was true to the, what the Most High truly calls, or what we call, if you will, the Basar, the true and holy, complete word. My brother says these divisions wouldn't exist. And it means that what men have taught has been the result of man's rebellion, man's presumptuousness, man's desire to preserve his own unrighteousness. Hadn't been the gospel, my brothers and sisters, wherever men have been held in bondage to constraints of men who hide the greater truths, who would deny the greater truths, or who can't see them themselves under institutions that are innately terminal, that he said he must destroy that his people see the truth. How can people believe that such institutions as this, my brothers and sisters, could ever give eternal life when those institutions themselves, the scripture says, the only way the iniquity of his people shall be atoned for is that these institutions that have heard the truth must become like chalk stones, my brothers and sisters. You know what happens to a chalk stone when you drop it on the ground? It breaks into many pieces. Only when there is no remembrance of the lies that were taught, the half-truths that were taught in these places, my brothers and sisters, will there be an atonement? Man must remember. He must be brought to remembrance of all the particulars of truth, tightly interwoven, conjunct, my brothers and sisters, line upon line, precept upon precept, a finely woven cloth, if you will, that could cover the nakedness of his fleshly insanities. The hearts of men must be restored to that conscience, my brothers and sisters, before there can be an atonement with the Most High. For the Most High, my brothers and sisters, cannot be pleased after ages of man having been turned away from obedience and hearkening to him, if man remains after such lack of discipline. It was falling away from faith and the discipline of Yah that caused man to be cast out from the paradise garden. Dare men say that preservation of all the lies they conceived shall be entrance again unto that paradise? Man needs to think again, lest his thoughts be counted prideful, stout-hearted, and an abomination before the Most High. We've talked before on this show how the scriptures talk in Isaiah 41, or again, the scriptures talking about that righteous one like the rising sun in Isaiah 41. It says that he will come forth in an Armageddon-like scenario that will judge all the kings, saying that whoever it is cannot declare the word as the Most High purposed it from the beginning, to be able to discern what is the eventuality of all things and the casting down of all present worldly corruption and discerning the pollutions thereof, to discern what must be the solution unto peace. He said, whoever will not, was shown that their testimony has not been true to this, will be called an abomination before Yah, not a thing natural, not a thing after his workmanship, but an abomination, my brothers and sisters, for a man does not belong after the testimony of the Most High, unto whom shall he say shall be his reward? He said he's going to reward his man as his work shall be. Either what a man does is after the instruction of Yah, or in its ineptitude, the Most High won't claim it. I want you to hear me. The Most High won't claim it. Not as a thing that he will confirm with his seal of approval, with his name. You need to think again, my brothers and sisters, how humbling it is to know that Messiah comes with an exceeding word, that it was already written in advance in so many ways a world would not teach, even declaring the implications of that word unto full renewal, after a manner that says people most did not even have the pieces to begin to consider. Most are not even prepared to understand. So it's written in advance, my brothers and sisters. And quite frankly, scripture says 2/3 of humanity will perish, because a lot of folks just simply were never ever prepared. Their leaders kept them blind. And the Lord Most High said, quite frankly, and forewarned that the kings will run for cover of the day that the one who discerns their hearts and their treachery is come, saying, hide from the face of the Lamb of him who sits upon the throne, because they never, if you will, taught to feed his lambs and his ewes. What is necessary to be said is they led them beside still waters and in the green pastures, but left them, as one scripture said, smitten, afflicted for lack of instruction, to keep them confused, keep the people confused, and not knowing what is the solution. Isaiah 41, know what it says the solution is? That word was when it says, he looked upon the sons of men and saw there was none who could give him an answer. Look at the words in the Hebrew, my brothers and sisters. Those words actually there relate to the solution is a return to the conscience the Most High gave from the beginning. And how else shall man remember that conscience, my brothers and sisters, but by the Spirit that is eternal, that no man can give? And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the Messiah himself said, there are many things that I would long to tell you, but you cannot bear them, cannot accept, cannot fully comprehend them yet, to the Comforter that brings all things to remembrance, that would lead you into all truth, that would rebuke all your hasty conclusions after partial perspective has come. Dare men believe that they can attain to that conscience of themselves? There are those who read Isaiah in their insanity, my brothers and sisters. But all the prophecies have said concerning the coming of the one called Shiloh and the Messiah. There are those who call themselves Hebrews who, quite frankly, if they continue along their path, in hell shall they lift their eyes. Yes, I say in hell, so they lift their eyes. Some say I'm judging. No, I'm judging. No, I'm just going to put it to you like this. The judgment has already been made. Man has learned how to comply with it. What reward do you think they shall receive, my brothers and sisters, those who in their presumptuousness to act as if they will never be reproved have said that no Savior as judge will come, that they compel men to consider themselves wise after their own understanding, that they become seek to become prideful, my brothers and sisters, to preserve what this world esteems. Think about what happens. The system, from the time folks get here, compels men blind to what is solution, oftentimes to comply with what a reasonable mind knows must be insanity in its contradictions. And many forming their associations after all these wickedly lawless contrivances. Once they receive a little praise from men, find it oftentimes after their predispositions and faulty orientations, once they've exalted such false, let's just say that they exalted so many demigods, misrepresentations and idols, oftentimes are far too prideful, my brothers and sisters, to count all that they had gained in esteem for men as if they were dumb, nothing. That many, through the wisdom the Most High would shine through them, might become wise. And anyone so selfish, my brothers and sisters, that he will sustain the darkness rather than exude light. What difference is such a soul as this, my brothers and sisters, from the rest of the children of darkness? You say you have the light and feel no need that it must be known and that it must shine forth? My brothers and sisters, that is not a touch from the One Most High. He calls men to his light that they might shine forth in his light. He told his people, Israel, that a light, my brothers and sisters, is not hidden, but must be put in a high place for all to bask in its glory. Well, that's exactly what the Most High intends to do. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, what does the scripture say? Whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life for the sake of the gospel light shall gain his life eternal. Yes, this world has sought to persecute and even sought to make prey those who would turn men toward righteousness. And my brothers and sisters, the light must shine. I repeat to you, my brothers and sisters, the light must shine. Since the scriptures tell us that in Messiah's appearing, those who are not prepared to see and remember the fullness of what he restores to conscience and the renewing of the minds will be utterly cut off from among the people. Well, I've had a lot of folks tell me, well, a lot of folks not ready to understand that. Did you hear what those scriptures said? Either you are prepared to comprehend that exceeding word, humble yourself to understand the exceeding word, diligent to understand the exceeding word. I'm talking about scriptures like Daniel 12 and 10. Hey, none of the wicked shall understand, but those who have done good works or sought the fullness of Yah, hey, they shall understand. Second cave of Peter, hey, be diligent to make your election sure. Believe me, even those who are called Israel must make their election sure. They must prove themselves worthy of a calling, prove themselves worthy of being chosen. For if man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, or turn back toward unrighteousness after receiving the knowledge of the truth, scripture says that he's ready for the fire of the nation that consumes the adversary. Oh, he shall be a light still. But my brothers and sisters, a light that shall consume even themselves. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. I want you to understand. Scriptures talk about it again in Isaiah 26, chapter 10, particularly like 26:9-13. Talk about none of the wicked shall understand. They will not see when the hand of righteousness is raised, but they shall see when they discern what has been the zeal of Yah for the sake of his people. A people, my brothers and sisters, who will make full admission that other lords, after fallen consciences, whoever had once had dominion over them, but now by Yah and Yah only, according to his inspiration, when they make mention of his name. But there are those who read the scripture where it says, that says Yah alone only is Savior. It means, my brothers and sisters, in this case, that only he can raise up a people or raise up one who is to be the Savior of his people. There are those, my brothers and sisters, that in their mental ministry, yes, I said it, mental, spiritual, selfishly ambitious, minded ministry have dared to say that all the Most High said he would promise, that he swore he would do, they have said that he shall not do. That men become prideful in themselves and completely unprepared for the day that is to come. That, my brothers and sisters, is a damnably wicked shame. Who, my brothers and sisters, shall remember the consummate conscience of the Most High by all his prophets, the word of all his prophets would bring to be restored? That for this insanity, men might repent. The scripture talks about those who forsook and forgot. Yes, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 65. Those who forgot his mountain, his holy, consecrated, if you will, mountain. And I say that word in the context of men recognizing what Most High has consecrated, sanctified unto himself and himself alone for every work, deed, and thought that is in it, that all cooperate fully unto the glory of Yah. The scripture says you turn away from that perfect will of the One, that you might establish feasts, memorials, unto what the scripture calls the troop and that number. In other words, all the polytheist, miscreant conceits of man, that you refuse, he said, in Isaiah 65, to hearken to him and choose that in which, so much of that which he did not delight. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there's an ancient conscience that must be remembered before we are again a people. Truly all again a people. I've talked before about how Malachi, fourth chapter, talking about the one called the Son of Righteousness that arrives with healing. How about the power to remember in his lips, even as his sovereignty, the declaration of his right to rule, to restore order, that there might be a remembrance, my brothers and sisters. Scriptures talk about in Isaiah 46 that there might be a remembrance. Do people think that they could actually forget him who brings the remembrance, refusing to hear him who would restore this conscience? That they be found before Yah true to his spirit? He says that his exceeding word will discern the thoughts and intents of the hearts, discerning who will serve Yah and those who serve him not. Scripture says, if you have not the spirit of Yah, that spirit that will bring all things to remember, that you might agree, bearing witness to the truth. If you have not that spirit, you're none of his. Who are they, my brothers and sisters, that having the spirit of remembrance will discern the rememberer? Excuse me just a second. Yes, I think it's very important, my brothers and sisters. In fact, I know it is. Mustard told me that I have some important things for him to do. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, to tell you things that men have done everything they could from the dawn of the human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. I thank the Most High for the spirit of remembrance. That there might indeed, my brothers and sisters, be a celebration, a commemoration of what the ancients knew. Malachi, a post-exilic prophet after the Babylonian captivity, long after the reign of the one called the Morning Star, the King of the East, the Son of Righteousness that arises. And that it was prophesied that he would return for a healing before the kingdom of Yah can be established. And that the scripture said in Isaiah 46, that men must remember that they not be found transgressors. Isaiah 45 said that through him all Israel shall be justified, corrected justly, and glorified, renewed to ancient strength. Even one who will say, draw near to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I alone. In this case, it means among men, am a just one and a savior. You ever stop and consider that the rulers have despised the thought of such? Because it says the Most High said he would raise this one from among your brethren in Acts 3:18-23. It says he said in Isaiah 49, the one who was saved, the Most High renewed his strength. The Most High renewed his strength. Scripture said he would come forth saying, listen to me, O isles, no peace to the lawless, to those who refuse to know these things. No peace to those who will not remember them. No peace to those who refuse to remember and guard his commands, as he's declared them from the beginning. He said he would come forth saying, and I'm talking about Isaiah 48-49, because the people have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth, nor in remembrance of all righteousness. Scripture said he would come saying, listen to me, O ye isles, all ye nations, all, according to the purpose for which man was created, must remember. Listen to me, O ye isles, and hearken me, O ye nations. And rid of me, my brothers and sisters, so you might not be cut off. The Most High is called, and he says, from the womb, from the body of my mother, has Yah made mention or called me, consecrated even me by my name. Says, in the shadow of his hand has he hid me and made me a chosen. They translate in King James, a chosen arrow, a chosen bowman, one who does not miss the mark with his words, who's would bring, as scripture said in Zephaniah, justice to light and shall not fail. When was this the point, my brothers and sisters? One who knows how to discern what indeed will slay the unreasoning beast and dragon. All the unreasoning thoughts of men, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says he must come to expose. It's a raising of consciousness, my brothers and sisters. That is what is prophesied. That men, reasoning again as wise, might be brought again unto Yah. Why did they tell you about these things, my brothers and sisters? Well, like I said before, I had a lot of pastors tell me, hey, you don't talk about those things. They're not welcome in their church. Why? They told me it's not about what the Bible says. It's not about the remembrance of what the scripture said must be remembered. They innately told me. It says about them learning and even maintaining a profession. Profession, my brothers and sisters, where men are flattered to death, compelled to lie against and even despise the greater truth of Yah, that they fatten their pockets. These are the most wicked men of all. And yet most not discerning that a mass of misrepresentations is not through the will of one. Most devoured beginning to be devoured in their conscience from the day they get here, trusting after what their eyes see and what their ears hear, after multitude of contradictions, have not discerned, my brothers and sisters, that this was wickedness. The scripture says, Messiah will not judge after merely what is presented to him. He will not judge after what is presented to him in this world. He's seen a far greater kingdom. He comes from, is sent from. The spirit that is upon him is from a far greater sense of order. Being that he comes from a conscience that sees beyond all the vanities and the anomalies and the insanities of man, how depraved, my brothers and sisters, do you believe that one such as this sees the warfare, contentions, and chaos that is in the hearts of men? Do they think that he will just look at it and be pleased? That he will call it worthy to be called atonement. Well, yeah. You ever stop to consider for him to do so would be to slander the very name of the Most High, who says because men have sworn by his name, not in truth nor in righteousness, he must refine his people for his holy name's sake? I think it's time. Brothers and sisters, in fact, I know it is. The men must discern far better than this. No question in my mind. A lot of things have been vastly mistranslated. Because oftentimes in the course of translation, translators have used the words of the heathen. Well, and quite frankly, because the heathen have had certain perceptions of certain words from a polytheist vantage point. Many have not reason to discern why the scriptures say that he must restore to the people a pure language, a pure speech, that they may call upon his name with one consent. It's not the words, my brothers and sisters. Which do you think is to be considered first? The words or the intent and their meaning? When the languages of the people were split because of their disobedience at Babylon's tower, it was men's lack of a capacity to discern a common meaning in their speech that accentuated at the time, my brothers and sisters, their incapacity to cooperate and work together. But what was men? Cooperative at the time, but cooperative unto the rebuke of the Most High himself. The scripture said that the Messiah of the Most High Well, also in the last days, it says the Messiah must come to restore the people of pure speech, because after all their various languages, they no longer knew how to cooperate to accomplish their devilish ends. Well, men are going to have to come to a common understanding of the usage of every word. After the mindset of those who the Most High sent to conceive and send forth the ideas. That we all must agree. Who will discern in this time the meaning of all these things? Think about it. The heathen didn't even have words to relate the idea of a monotheist deity who is completely one in all things, supreme above all else. So they used other words that they twisted. They used words that they wound up twisting to make them mean what they were familiar with. The men read the words,
and still remains the same weak, insolvent conscience. Conscience of men must be raised, my brothers and sisters, to realize that words like not, or phrases like not under the law but under grace must mean not under the contradictions of men, but subject to the greater wisdom of Yah, that you might be true to His wisdom. Men no longer be deceived to think that it's the favor of the Most High that there's confusion in the world, as if the Most High were the author of this confusion. All that must be cast aside, my brothers and sisters. The initial concept, the word that it is from the beginning, is the Most High gave His promise. Well, He promised that He would uphold. Well, He declares the premise. Well, He declares the foundation. What He declared, after the meaning of His heart, must be restored to the hearts of men today, that we might discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Between what is service unto Yah and what is not. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think about it. So much relates to how the soul of man must be emptied of all these lies, that men have room for what is good. That's what Messiah was really saying as a consecrated one. So lest you believe that I am He whose message is from above. I didn't say after the pollution of this world, say you would die in your sins. How about perish under those who never tell you the truth? Because He said if you're My disciples, you would know the truth. The truth will set you free from those who keep you in these snares of ignorance. Wherein with Yah there's no agreement and no hope of atonement at one day. We have to remember, my brothers and sisters, before we can become a people, we must remember. We must be prepared to stand before His presence, to remember all that the world for so long has sought to hide and not burst silence and destroy. Lest we be counted those who remain obstacles against the hope of repentance, obstacles against His righteousness. And the scripture says, all those, my brothers and sisters, being count enemies who would do so, well, 2 Thessalonians says they shall be damned. Isaiah 59 says He will render recompense to such enemies. Philippians 3 says that those who don't seek the path unto this means this ultimate remembrance. He counts His enemies. And the Apostle Shaul said he said with tears, their enemies, the very reason for which Messiah gave His life, when he said, if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. But if I do go, Most High shall send the Comforter, will bring all things to remembrance. That true to all the Most High declared from the beginning, we might be one. Who will understand this in this very, very precious time? Again, we must remember all of the nations have compelled us to indiscriminately disrespect and forget. We must precisely remember all that the nations, after their polytheist mindless, indiscriminate mindlessness, may have been compelled to corrupt, to entirely in so many ways after the mindsets of the Gentiles continually misconstrued. How many who have presumed themselves Israel restored? Scripture says, none so blind as those who think they already are perfect. Messiah will be sent, my brothers and sisters, to bring, however, that perfection. And Scripture says, and he that is perfect comes, that was in part. Those who uphold such partiality, blindness, darkness, variances. My brothers and sisters didn't say they would survive. The light, the flame, will burn all that's not like itself. My brothers and sisters, who is it that beyond the vanities of men will seek the pure, perfect light, that they be counted assets and not detriments to the cause? Israel must not
only remember, my brothers and sisters, the word of truth, but the conscience that the mindset of the Gentile nations could never restore. I dare to tell you that to this day, many who call themselves Israel haven't even begun to understand. I said haven't even begun to understand the name of the Most High, much less have they known the vocable. That too, the nations, even many who call themselves Israel today, will have to admit that they have forgotten. The book of Isaiah says that Messiah will come with a new name which the Most High himself shall name. It says that he comes with a name that no man knew but he himself. It's more than a vocable, my brothers and sisters. It's a conscience. Few have been willing to understand such things as some write down Ashiah, Asha, Ashia. And some want to take the Yod Heh Vav Heh Tetragrammaton, turn the V into either W or a U. Some want to stick, but it's not perfectly in the right vowel in front of or in the midst of it, and come up with other names. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to just tell you this. There's one whom Most High is allowed to hear his name, who also, since in the presence of the Most High come in the room, out of my very spirit I can simply say to you that erupted his name. And I don't mean at my own behest. Spirit took hold of my voice. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, Moshe was not told two names. He was told one. I would just tell you as simple as saying water with water is water.
90 seconds.
Yah with Yah is Yah. His name, my brothers and sisters, relates the context of like a family name. All that is likened unto him, he is. And whatever is not like unto him, he is not. Who understand the remembrance of a principle, my brothers and sisters? Or dare men say that none should come to the consciousness of the One Most High and still be called
true
to his name? I know there's a lot of waking up to do. Only those who will admit that there's been a fall away from the faith, much forgetfulness of what must be remembered, will prepare, my brothers and sisters, to find out that so much that men have been compelled to believe has been a lie, that they might prepare themselves to accept the redemption that can be found in being prepared to remember that which humanity has long forgotten. I would seek to admonish you, my brothers and sisters, to remember what Acts 3:18 to 23 has to say. For whoever will not remember that they might be true to that word should be cut off. But blessed are they who will remember. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, it's been Enemy Eye of Covenant, Remembrance Ministries. To his might, honor, and praise always, hallelujah! And I thank the Most High again for every year that he brings near. And I thank you all again for listening.
You got-